गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नोऽथिभिः सीदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. So every class, also the first verse in Vedanta Dindima will chant, because it's also the, you could say, the introduction or prayer for this. So first few classes, we can chant it part by part. So one thing, just be aware, the third pada, because four parts. So it says, purastat, astam purastatat tejo. Out of habit, I'll say tejaha, because it's a Sanskrit grammar thing. When you stop the sentence at somewhere, then you stop the sandhi. Sandhi where a word changes because it's a sound is meeting another sound. So you can make a mark there for chanting it like this. Third one will be tate jaha, not tate jo is written here. If you want Sanskrit grammar, we can explain a little more in detail another time. So part by part, we can chant it. Vedanta dindimastattvam. Vedantardindimastattvam ekamudghoshayantiyat astam purastatat tejah dakshinamurti saṅgitam. And this we discussed last week. This is both the Mangalacharan, if you want, the prayer or verse for the auspicious beginning or introduction. And also it gives the vision, which we said, this is telling that, yes, each verse here is Vedanta is roaring its essence very loud and clear and pointing it out and pointing out the tattva, what is the essence. And today we will talk a little bit about that, the essence and the non-essential together like this. So, and of course the prayer there, may that, the brilliance of this, the consciousness, which is that which is behind me, behind everything, as we talked about the Nataraja now, or behind me, the essence is there, speaking through us. So may this one always be, may I always be present with it, may I not lose my sight of it. Because what happens, I get caught up in my ideas. The ego is me and mine, my ideas, what I want, what I like, what I feel, all this. And then I lose sight of the essence, which is beyond my limited ideas. So may that one always be, may it always be within my sight. And may I know this one. Once I know it, I can't lose sight of it. We're going to start today from the 68th verse. So this is on page 33. As mentioned, the reason is you can take different parts of this text and just study them one verse or few verses independently. So we can independently go anywhere we want. And there's reason for this verse too is we had this class a few years ago and we got up to 67. So why not continue from there? And you can continue from here is no problem. I looked through and I thought there was no reason not to if there was some reason it seemed to break, it wouldn't fit in, then we would do differently, but it seems to be fine. So let's chant this one. It's on page 33. So 68, sorry, page 33. Part by part, we can chant it. Anamarupam sakalam, anamarupam sakalam, sanmayam chinmayam param, sanmayam chinmayam param, kuto bhedah kuto bandhah, kuto bhedah kuto bandhah, iti vedantardindimaha, iti vedantardindimaha. You'll find just about all the verses. The first one doesn't, the others follow the pattern, ends with iti vedantardindimaha. This can say, this is the drumbeat of Vedanta. This is the proclamation of Vedanta. Each verse ends with this. Translation might be slightly different each time because the translator, Swami Tattviranandaji, who's at his course here, then because the context might be slightly different. So here the translation he wrote is, everything is the supreme reality, which is beyond names and forms. That reality is the crystallized existence knowledge, existence consciousness. Where is the division? Where is the bondage? Demands Vedanta, meaning these are apeksha questions. These are rhetorical questions. It's not the question that we're going to answer. It's where will it be once we look into it? So this one, as we said, the Vedanta Dindima, they don't bring, you know, some little drum and make a little bit of noise, right? A little bit of noise. When they come to announce, it's going to be a big kettle drum like this, something very loud to catch everybody's attention. Otherwise, how will people know? It's like if there's a, you know, like now the catastrophes that have happened, this flooding, you know, very sad for many people. It's very unfortunate. But in places where they're going to have a siren for it, it's going to be loud and clear so people can hear it. So same way here, it's not going to just say a few little things. It goes directly to the essence. And also because these are terse verses, that each one of them, or a few together, stand on their own, it's not going to just give some small point, but very, you know, precise and clear. So here, the first main point is being pointed out, anamarupam sakalam. Namarupa, name and form. So it says, anamarupam sakalam, everything really does not have name and form. And this is taking the whole world, how we see it, and right away throwing it aside, like this, dismiss it. Say, how can you do that? How can you just dismiss it? So that's what we have to discuss. Why is it saying this? Why does Vedanta proclaim this? So name and form. So what happens is you see or hear something. We say see because the world around us, we see everything by the forms, by our vision. Of course, by hearing, by touching, also this is the world. But this is the main thing that is building the world for most of us. So we will take that sense, though any sense could be used for this. If it was a dog Vedanta class, they might talk about jigra, smell, right? But let the dogs have that class, we'll have our class. So I see something. I see I have a laptop in front of me, right? So there's the form, and then my mind has a name, laptop, because I know what it is. If I just came from, you know, I lived in the Amazon jungle, I'd never seen technology, and you'd put it in front of me, I wouldn't know the name, I wouldn't have a name for it. But then, after a little while, when I get used to, then slowly, then the name will connect to it. So the form is what I perceive, and the name is some label, some way the mind points to it, so I conceive. Conception and perception. Actually, in the Amazon jungle, they do have a lot of problems, a lot of the tribes there, because for good or for bad, a lot of them got cell network now. So people are watching the YouTube too much. YouTube has become global pandemic even in the most remote places. That's not our topic, though. We can leave that for some other discussion. For our topic is this. What happens is, okay, I perceive the whole world around me. I see things. Now, once I see something, then what I see, my mind is going to break it up into pieces according to my how I conceive it, meaning the impressions in my mind, my conditioning. Because people will see the same thing and see it totally different, right? Like here's a very good example in our country right here and now. Certain candidate wanting to be president, half of the country is seeing this as a great candidate, and half of them is seeing, oh, this is useless, like this. See, same form, same thing, just the conception different. Same perception, but then how I conceive is different. You see an animal. Very cute. Oh, very cute animal. Very cute bunny rabbit, right? For a different animal, maybe the small rabbit, this is their protector, their parent. Oh, this without this one, I feel lost, right? A different animal is going to be around. They're going to see nice dinner, right? They're going to see this. A different one is going to say, hey, I'm very scared. Don't step on me because they're very tiny, some tiny crawling animal, keep away from me, or that might be the predator. So how I see it's my conditioning, what it looks like. We also see, we have our vision. Different animals have different vision, like some insects that their eyes, like a bee, many, might be a bee or dragonfly, that's like their eyes are very different, or a bat. It'll look very different. So how I perceive is just because how my instrument works to perceive it. Now, the moment you perceive something, then you're getting just some limited view of it anyway. Because when I see it from, when you see it from far away, it looks different. You see it from closer, different. Go even closer, you go into the human tissue, you see the person, you go closer and closer to the tissue, then you start seeing, the tissue, the cells, atoms, different. Which one is what's there? It all depends on how I look at it. So perception is one thing. Now, one thing about it is when I perceive, the moment I perceive, it's not exactly what it is because it went through some filter through my senses. So I can never see exactly what the substance is because I have my eyes are limited. My hearing is limited. So I can't perceive exactly what's there. Like this is one thing. So reality isn't something you can perceive. The substance you don't perceive, you perceive something. You perceive some object like this. But then more important than this is the nama, the conception. Anything I see goes through the filter of my mind. So something else you'll say, oh, great. And you'll say, ah, what's the big deal, right? You'll say, oh, very beautiful. I say, no, it's not so nice, like this. Which one is it? It's just my conditioning. I'll hear some music. Oh, it sounds very nice, very pretty. My wife who's trained Indian classical music, then she'll say, no, it's a little off. They're a little off rhythm. I can't take it. Like this. So which one is it? So that conditioning is very strong. And to see without conditioning, that's not easy because I'm so used to seeing everything with my conditioning in this way. And now what happens is, so I'm not conditioned just one thing, but so many things, anything that comes to me goes through my mind, meaning I see it through my conditioning. So think of it, the whole world around me, everything I perceive is going through my conditioning. So is it the world I'm perceiving or my conceptions, how I see it? I don't see it just for what it is, I see it through my own conditioning, through my own ideas. Isn't that something? So we say the world out there, but first, the world in here, the world in my own mind, how I'm seeing, that's really what I'm seeing more than anything else. So this is quite something. Now what happens, we say, so the nama-rupa, the appearance, the external appearance, and the name, the conditioning, the way I conceive it, this is like a covering that covers the truth, doesn't let us see the essence that's there, right? Vedanta Dhrimaha Tattvam Ekam Udghoshayanti. It talks about the Tattva, Ekam, the one essence behind everything. So why don't I see it? Because of this covering. We say there's Avarana, there's the covering. What happens with the snake and rope? There are two things that are happening. First is Avarana. You don't see it clearly because it's dusk. So you don't see it clearly. So that's one thing. Then there's vikshepa, you project something else. So if somebody grew up where there weren't any snakes, never heard of snakes, they might think it's a stream of water. They might not think that it's a snake, right? They may think it's something else, depending on the conditioning. But that's projected. So it's something that's covering. Once it's covered, then I'll project. I don't see exactly what's there. I project something else. Like this. I remember this puzzle, this not exactly puzzle, this interesting thing I was once shown. It was given from the New York Times, and a paragraph was written and said, just first read it through. You read it through, no problem. Then it says, look very closely through it. There are many places where a letter was missing, or the letter was upside down, or two letters were swapped. But you don't notice when you just read it because you didn't look very closely and it just went through very smoothly because you're used to seeing it a certain way. So I don't see what's there. When I look closely, oh, that's not exactly what it was in this way. So we say it's like a covering. There's a covering, nama-rupa, there's a covering that doesn't let me see what's really there. That I don't see that because of all this conditioning. This is what happens. An interesting thing is a lot of time when you go into a Hindu temple, then especially when they're dressing the deity, then they put a certain screen. You can see a little bit through, but you can't see all the detail at that time. And so that screen, a lot of these things, a lot of them have a certain meaning, but the meaning is forgotten, like this becomes just part of a ritual. That is the covering, nama-rupa, that's covering. And then, so that's covering, so it's covering, so you can't see it clearly. You can't really see it's there. Like, it's like the snake and rope. I know I'm a conscious being. I don't have a question about it. What is that conscious being? I don't know, because the screen is covering and not letting me see it clearly. This is what happens. And the jnani, the one who knows this, for them, they see through the screen as though the screen is not there. Like this, this is the difference. So in this way, we see, okay, everything is nama-rupa. This is what we see and not the essence behind. Now what happens is we get all caught up and then all caught up with the name and form. The example that's always given for this also is the necklace and the gold, ornament and gold. What is necklace? So we say golden necklace, right? There's a golden necklace. Now, what is necklace? It's a name that we gave. Now, what is the substance necklace? There's no substance necklace. Substance is gold, right? Necklace isn't an object. It's the object is gold. Because really, here the language is backwards. The adjective is the substance, and the actual noun is, the adjective is the form. It's a certain form, and then we give it the name necklace, like this. So Swami Dayananji, he would say, it's backwards. It should be necklacy gold, because really necklacy gold? It's really gold in the form of a necklace. Because really it's gold. You know, if you're so much like the necklace, we'll make a deal. I'll take the gold, you can take the necklace. What is name and form? Doesn't have a substance. The substance is gold, like this. So this is the example that's given, something where the substance itself is there, but we're looking at the form and the name. When somebody goes to the jewelry shop, they're going to look and see not the substance, but the form. Because I remember not too long back, my nephew in India, his wedding, so I went with my wife and sister-in-law. In Bhubaneswar, their jewelers, one jewelry shop is gold, one jewelry is silver, like this. They have their own bigger ones that have different ones, but a lot of them have just, they deal with one thing. So we went to a silver shop like that, and they were looking at all the different silver jewelry, so they're looking at the form, not at the substance. Everything there is silver. They're not saying, they'll walk in, okay, for the wedding we want to get some silver jewelry. Oh, some silver. Okay, of course, he came to the silver shop. What do you mean? What do you want to get? Like this. So this is the example that's given. How does that then, the example is very easy to see, but then about the what it's pointing to is the important thing. Like this. So when we look at how I see the things, as I said, we see through the filter of perception and conception. I perceive something limited, and then I conceive in my mind according to my conditioning, like this. My conditioning makes it see it in a certain way. This is what happens. Now, if we take if we now shift and look at the dream world. Okay, now we're having a dream. After this talk, I get tired, especially here. It's already almost 9:25 p.m. So right after this, I'll get to go to sleep. You can stay up and reflect on these things a little more before you go to sleep, unless you're in some other time zone. Most of you are in California. So what happens then is, once I wake up from the dream and I look back at the dream, we're very wise looking back at the dream. In the dream itself, we're all caught up in it, right? We're all jnanis looking back at the dream. Oh, it was unreal. It's just a dream. But in the dream, we're duped again and again. And we'll say, how can I be duped in the day-to-day life? How can it be? Well, look, how many times have I dreamt in my life? You know, take your age times 365, at least that many nights, all those nights, how many times we've been dreaming, thousands, thousands of dreams. How many times they take that as a solid reality? So in any case, so now when I look back at the dream, there was a whole dream world, right? Whole dream world, there were objects, there were living beings, people. There was me, an individual as well. Now, what are those? Are those objects really outside, separate from me? Right, where did they go? So obviously, you know, now we're awake, so we say, oh yes, yes, they're all just projected. The friend in the dream was me. The enemy in the dream was me. The animals in the dream, the space in the dream, the idea of my persona was me. It's all just me. One. Ekam eva advitiyam. One. One without a second, just me. So now I can be a Vedanti towards my dream. The past, I say, yes, there's only one without a second because only me. Nothing else. Right? I perceive things. And through my conditioning, I had certain reaction. I saw them in a certain way. But really, they weren't. Their existence, their whole existence was dependent on me. It was my existence. And the whole thing was, they were lit by, just like the movies lit by the one light, the whole dream by my light of consciousness it was, came to light. So the whole thing, there was sat, sanmayam, it was made out of sat, out of existence. That existence is my existence. Everything in the dream was made out of chit, out of my consciousness. Because it was perceived, so it was within my consciousness. Everything, I'm a conscious being, that's made out of me. It's made out of consciousness. So it's all sat-chit. It's all existence and consciousness. Right? When it totally resolves, if I'm not awake, then just I am and I know. This is me. I am and I know is always there. You're in deep sleep. you exist, and you know, I know nothing. When I wake up, was I there? Yes, I was there, but I knew nothing. So I was and I knew. So Satchit is always there. So we know the whole dream world then was fully made just out of Satchit. Nothing but that. Nothing, wasn't anything else. So the Nama Rupa didn't really, were just projections. The substance was Satchit in the dream. So this is first thing how we can look at, because this one is very useful for us to look at. Actually, in the Vedantic analysis, when looking at these things, then what happens is, this is Swami Rama Tirtha. He pointed this out. He said, listen, if you're going to do an analysis, let's say you want to do a study on, you know, certain effects of COVID or how COVID spread, things like this. Now you say, okay, we're going to look at in California, the biggest, you know, most populous state in the U.S., let's look at there. Well, you know, the population for you break the population into a few groups and you say, these two groups, let me put aside. I want to see how it spread. Well, children, let me put aside, and elderly people, let me put aside. Let me look at people from 30 to 55 in that. Say, wait a minute. The epidemiologist will say, wait, first we have to look at how it spread everything. Then if we find some reason that those people didn't have, those groups didn't help the spread, put them aside. But first look at all the data. You're arbitrarily throwing out 2/3 of the data. So this way, Swami Rama Tirtha said, listen, you want to analyze yourself, the world and yourself. You're saying the science and psychology, I assume psychology again, if not, sorry, because I don't know modern psychology. The science is saying, okay, let's analyze the world. Let's analyze you. There's the waking state, the dream, deep sleep. Dream and deep sleep are just projections from your mind, some state of mind, forget it. Let's just look at the waking state. Say, wait a minute. Let's look at everything first. Then you can dismiss. Here the dream is very, very helpful. The analyzing the dream will be very helpful to understanding the waking state, as we'll see now. Swapna vichara, deep sleep too. For other times, we'll look at our deep sleep. Because we have deep sleep, the sushupti, dream, the swapna, and waking, jagrat, three different states that we experience. So these three different states are very important for our analysis. Because here, if we can learn from the dream, then we can, the more we understand the dream, the more we can see how the life, the waking, is not too different from that. So in any case, so the dream, we've come to the conclusion that Satchit. The rest is just a projection, like this, okay? Satchit, it's only me, like that. So done. That's not too hard. Now we come to jagrat, to waking state. Okay, we're in the waking state. Say, wait a minute. Waking state, you're just taking as, okay, here's the whole real world. 1 minute. Talk about earlier in the day, before this class, my day, earlier part of the day, I remember things from earlier in the day. Okay, very good. Those things happened and everything. Where are those things that happened? Some incident earlier in the day. There was somebody there, or I had to deal with whatever in the external world. Where is it now, that whole incident? It's only in my own memory. It doesn't have an existence outside of my memory now, because that's the past. Past can only be in memory, it can't be anywhere else, right? So it's in my memory. Very good. Remember it. Now when you remember it, you remember the other person or people there, the place where it is, objects, where are all of those? Are they not in your mind only now? Because that's the past. Past is in your mind. Past is not right here. It's in your mind. It's not here. Meaning that when you remember that, the place, the whole world of that time, the other people, you, it's all in your mind, so that's only Satchit, only you is in the memory. Nothing other than you in your memory, because the memory is you, it's in your own mind. So it doesn't have some other existence out there. Very interesting, no? because that's the whole past. The whole past is like that. So my whole past is as good as the dream in this perspective. It's only my consciousness, my existence, nothing else. Where else is it? You know, show it to me. There's nothing else to show. You can show something, oh, this is the result of. We're not talking about a result. We're just talking about the actual thing, the actual past like this. So where else would it be, right? So this is very interesting. Already the past, already gone like this. Now, of course, what happens then is now I'm in the present. But am I living in the present? Or am I living in the past because when I say, you know, this is my laptop, right? Actually, it's not my laptop. It belongs to where I work. My laptop, right? Is that past or present? I just see it in front of me. What makes it mine and present, right? I see this is my house. What do you mean my house? That's memory, right? So when I bring the past is just ideas, and I put them on the present. So I'm covering the present with so many ideas. So I'm not really totally in the present like this. So this way, okay. So then already it starts seeing things very differently. Now I say I'm this person. This person is, I have some perception of some sensations. So that means the body. And I have a batch of ideas in my mind from conditioning from past. And all this I say, that's me. So I'm this name and form, some nebulous thing, because form physically okay, but my idea of it is changing constantly. Right? But I'm something like this, since I'm a name and form, I carve out a certain name and form from totality, so everything else also is some name and form. Because I see myself like this, so I see everybody else like this. This is what happens. So I'm like this, and everything else, certain name and form. Now, what is this persona that I have? It's my past conditioning, which I hold on to. When you're very present with something, where's all that conditioning? Right? I'm a parent, I'm master's degree, you know, I'm from this religion or background, or whatever it is. Now I'm present, where is all that? Right? I'm male, I'm female, I'm this age or that age. Where is that when I'm present? So those are ideas I'm holding on to, all that past. I take and I cover the present with it, like this, obscure the present moment with that. So all that then, and then I want to see the present with all this. One of my senior Guru Bhais, he once went to Rishikesh. At that time, many of Swami Shivananji's disciples were still there. Now very few are still alive. I think in Shivananda Ashram itself there, I don't think there are any direct disciples anymore there. So he went to see Swami Krishnanandaji. I was fortunate, I saw him two times there. He was very, very sharp. He would, anything, he would just cut up and throw out, all the name for him, throw out. So he said, okay, so he came, pranam, and he said, yes. And he said, oh, I'm so-and-so. I came from here. I'm disciple Swami Vishnanavananaji, a few other things. So I said, with this in your mind, you want to go to Brahmaloka. So with all these ideas, you want to go to higher truth. How are you going to do that? Just the introduction, he threw it all out like this. So this is what happens. Now when I look at the external world, okay, here's the whole world. So all these objects are here. Now, instead of the whole external world, let's go back to the jewelry shop to make a smaller sample, and then we can take from the bigger sample. You come into the shop, right? And you say, okay, I have this this gold necklace, you know, I need some money, so what will you pay for it? The jeweler just looks to see that the quality, it's really gold, it's pure gold. They're happy it's pure gold, they'll put it on the weight. Let's say it weighs, you know, whatever, 100 grams, 200 grams. So let's say this is how much money I give for this. Oh, but it's a very fancy decoration. It's very old style. No, they don't care about that. They just care about the weight. So you say, okay, you sell it to them. You come back the next day. Say, what happened to the necklace? Oh, the gold? Oh, I made these few sets of earrings out of them. Now, where did the necklace go? Name and form are gone. But the substance is still there as the earrings, correct? So the gold is still there. Substance is still there. But the name and form are gone. So name and form are just something temporary. They don't really have a substance, as we said. Now this whole world you perceive. Anything you perceive, first of all, it's changing every moment. So it's not a hard substance. I say this is this table in front of me. This table is more like a wave in the water. It's not a solid thing. So what is the substance behind is not, right? The substance is wood, really, not table. The substance is really the molecules. The substance is really, you keep going back and back. So in the end, the whole, everything is one substance. That's what it's going to be, because whatever changes, that's not a substance, meaning something is behind that change. You can't, because otherwise it would be the same thing, but it's not. Since the name and form are temporary, and the name and form, why we say they don't have no substance at all, because they're momentary. Any form you see is there for a moment. The next moment, no matter how, you know, nanosecond or smaller, any moment later, it's not the same anymore. Change, meaning that it's not something solid. The substance behind is the only thing that will be really there, because that changed, so it's not the same thing. It's constantly changing, so the one substance has to be behind it. And so we can say the one substance of the table exists. You change it into a chair, the chair exists, right? Then you chop it up, the wood chips exist. You burn it, the ash exists, like this. So the substance is what exists. So we say it's the existence. Sat, everything is made of sat, is the pure existence, because something will always be the same substance always there, sat, one substance. But we're looking at the temporary names and forms, which are very much just apparent because of my conditioning. So I say the world out there, meaning sat, there's presence, with some appearances, appears in different ways. And it appears momentarily, totally momentarily, because every moment's gone. And actually, even now with modern science, even you'll say, well, what's, when you go a little bit back, a few levels back, you'll get to subatomic particles that jump in and out of existence. What does that mean? So it's very much more like a movie than like a solid reality, actually. Like this, very interesting in this way. So, one presence. And now what happens to collaborate with that? Our experience, if we really look at our experience closely, it'll corroborate with that. Because if I can drop my past, my conditioning, I'm totally just present now. Without all the past, which is, we said it's only me, only my ideas, the past. Totally present. Then what'll happen is, when I don't bring the past into the present, then I don't feel like there are many solid things. They're much more like a mist, where it's like there's a presence with I perceive some things, but it doesn't seem as solid, because to build it into something solid, I need to go over time. It needs time for me to look at and perceive and then put it into my mind and start connecting. The mind will have to start connecting and making up whatever ideas about it. So when I'm really present, feels like there's just the presence, just such, just existence, like this. So one existence. However I separate it is my ideas, my conditioning, my samskara, how my mind is going to work like this. It's going to break it up. So one presence like this. So I experience one presence. Outside sat, one presence. Now, what I mean by outside? Outside of what? Outside of the body? Is the body separate from the one presence? Again, body, it's conditioning. I'm present. I'm present is one thing. I'll say, yeah, but I feel this here. Well, there's one presence which I break up in certain ways, in this way. So I'll say outside the body is outside, in the body inside. What do you mean? They're both experienced in the mind anyway. My whole persona and my sleep, my ideas of the past, they're ideas. So the present also, if I'm really present, I don't feel there's a separate body and separate world. One presence like this. So this is, there's one like this. Name and form just superimposed on it. Then what happens is, how do I perceive it? I'm a conscious, what do you mean how do I perceive it? I'm aware, I'm a conscious being. Okay, you're a conscious being. In the dream, which part of the dream was within your field of consciousness, within the field of awareness? What do you mean, which part? The whole thing. Just like the whole movie was projected on the screen, the whole movie was projected from the same light, the whole dream projected from the same light, which I am. What about your memories? Yeah, the same, like the dream. Like the dream, it's your consciousness, which is in and through behind everything. Now, at this present moment, and your whole field of experience, is any of it outside your consciousness? Can you perceive anything outside of your field of consciousness? Doesn't make sense, right? How can you? So when I perceive something, I see you now, right? I see the screen, I see all of you on the screen. Since I'm the master of the meeting, I could pin myself so you can only see me. Just easier. So during the class, it's just easier. Otherwise, I think more distracting for people, that's all. But in any case, but I can see everybody. I'm the sarvajna, the one who all-knowing, sees everything. Like this. So what happens, everything, what I see, I'm aware of. It's within my consciousness. Nothing could be outside of it. So can there be any, you say this exists, for as you say exists, my consciousness has to be there, just like in the dream, just like in the past. Can you separate that sat, the presence, and your awareness? Can you separate the two? Yeah, there's existence of some, of, I feel there's an existence, there's stuff all around, and I'm a consciousness here. If I separate myself from here and I see that, okay, then there's the object and the subject. But directly just, that's because I'm seeing, I'm sitting here, and from memory I remember that I'm here, this is sight, there's something there, and I put it together in my mind. But if I'm just present, I'm aware, everything within the awareness, everything manifests within the awareness. It's not separate from chit, from the consciousness. You can't separate it. So everything you perceive within your consciousness. So you can't separate the sat and chit like this. So the kuto bhedaha, kutaha bhedaha, where the differences are because of the conditioning namarupa, not because of what's there substantially, because of my ideas. My ideas are separating, like this. I drop my ideas, where's the separation? Deep sleep, you drop all your ideas, okay, there's no separation in deep sleep, like that. You drop all the conditioning. So here, conditioning, I'm separating. So you can't really separate like this. Now you say, okay, how do I know I'm there? I am. I know I am. Right? There's the table there. How do I know table's there? I know the table. Right? So there's table. The table is. Yes, table is. I am. So that exists. I exist. So I exist, meaning I, awareness. The awareness is. I say I am, I is the same thing, it is. So as awareness is, it is. Table is. Can you separate the awareness and the table when you're watching the table? The existing table, existence of awareness. How will you separate it? The only way you'll separate it is by conditioning. There's an object and I'm a subject, etc. But just as awareness, there's just existence. You can't make them two different things. That separation is, again, the idea in the mind, just like the separation of the dream. Dream, I separate objects and myself. Here, when I'm present, I separate objects and myself through my ideas. I break them up like this. So, kuto bhedaha, where is the differences like this, right? This difference is, needs to be some sort of superimposition, some sort of ideas put on, conditioning put onto it, like this. Kuto bhedaha, what is a kuto bandaha is the other one. Now I say, okay, but poor me, I am bound, right? I'm limited, I want to be free. Limited for, by what? The dream I was limited, when I see it's a dream, then what? I'm limited by my ideas, my conditioning. When I'm just present, where is that? Right? I'm separate from everything. What do you mean separate? Because you identify with the body and the mind, but I'm aware, I'm present. The body and mind, where are they? They appear as ideas, as sensations, ideas within the awareness, within the present. Just like the table appears within the present. But then I, out of habit, I'm identifying this part, so I think I'm this, and everything else I separate. So I'm bound, so what bounds me? My own ideas, my own perceptions. The persona I take myself to be, it's an idea, what more is it? It can be dropped when I'm very present, doing something, it's dropped. Right? Deep sleep, it's dropped. You taste something very tasty, you're tasting it, where's your persona gone, dropped, right? Like this. Somebody tells a silly joke, so you laugh, where's the persona dropped? So this way, where is it? But the thing is, I need, because of the conditioning, I just need to look into this. Instead of, I'm constantly looking through that, through these ideas and identifying with them, but I have to, you know, learn how to not see through them. Meaning, yes, for day-to-day things, it's neat, you know, day-to-day things, yes, somebody will say, whose pen is that? Yeah, that's my pen. Yeah, it's needed. So for day-to-day stuff, fine, but for the identity, then it gives us a lot of problems. This identity that I take myself to be, like this. So this bandaha, bondage, same in Sanskrit English, bandaha and bondage. It is just an idea, right? It's an idea. I think of it just like the dream. I thought I'm bound by something, it appeared. Here I think I'm bound by something. Yes, I'm very bound because the body, it'll have problems, and yes, and then I know eventually I'll get old and I'll die. Yeah, that's the body. Okay. As awareness, are you different now? Are you now a 40, 50, 60-year-old awareness, and before you were a 10-year-old, 5-year-old awareness? Did the awareness age, consciousness age? No, it didn't age. Mind has some changes, body has some changes, but not you. So when I take myself as body and mind, yes, then there's change, then there's bondage in this. Then what'll happen to me? When I take myself as I'm the conscious being, where is it, right? Core I. I is always same I. It doesn't matter what condition, where you are, anything. So where's the bondage? It's an idea. So we say the differences are then ideas. They're not the substance. And then also the being bound by anything is also a idea. So what is mukti, moksha, liberation? It's also an idea too, no? Isn't it also just a, because what, who free from what? Yes, when I'm bound, it feels like something I need to get to. But it's not something to get to. Does the rope, with the snake and rope, do you have to get to the rope? Do you have to create and make the rope? Do you have to drive away the snake? No, you just have to see it clearly. That's it. So just understanding. That's why jnana yoga, it's understanding. Right? Everything else, I need to get to something. Purify my mind. Right? Get to some state of mind. Get, you know, something like this. Those are, other practices are valid for creating some balance in the mind, for creating more subtle attention, things like this. They're good for... I'm so self-centered to drop that, so it helps to make my ego less thick, easier to see through it. So they're useful. But they're not the end in itself. In the end, anything I get to, then I get it, I might lose it too. But here it's a question of understand. That's why Vedanta is saying this is a question of understanding. If I understand, then what's the problem? I understand that moksha is really, I understand that I'm not limited. So I don't get to something. I always am. I always was free. I just had a misconception about it. That's all. Misconception. Oh, like this. So where this, the idea that I'm bound, the fact that I'm bound is but an idea like this. Yeah, the body's not well. Body's not well. I'm still the awareness, so I'm aware of something that I call some pain in the body or discomfort. Yeah, but I'm same awareness like this. So this is what is being pointed out here, like this. Now, one thing about anything that when I recognize that it is just a concept, the more when I recognize it's a concept, then that won't bind me anymore, like this. I recognize I'm very attached to something in religion or something. Then I slowly I notice that's a concept. Yeah, I can still follow it or not follow it, but it's a concept, so I won't see the separation on account of that, on account of this. Just some idea. So the more things that I recognize as just concepts, then how will that catch me? How will that bind me anymore? How will it do anything? This is something that we can slowly see in this way. So what happens then is what the masters say is that the projection I have of the world, it's going to come from my memory, because I look at the world from conditioning is memory. My memory I'm going to bring on the present like this. This is one thing. Then I have certain expectations, desire. I'm going to see that too. I have strong desire for things, so I'm going to see things in this way or that accordingly. And I have fears of certain things. That's why the rope comes up, right? Where they say the post and the thief. I think it's a person there in the dark. It's a post. I don't think, maybe my friend has come, but I'll say, might be a shady character, right? Because it's shady outside. So my fears, I project my fears. So in this way, they say, what is our world? We project our conditioning and memory, our desires, because I project all of that around me. I want to get to something, I want to find something, so everything around I'm seeing is this. I want to succeed very much in something, be better than other people in that field, be ambitious. So I'm seeing everything according to that. I'll see the world according to this. And I'm afraid the other person will do better than me, or they'll say that my work wasn't very good, I wasn't successful in it, so my fear will be there too. So everything, that's how I'm projecting my world through these. And the more I see that I unravel it as we're doing now, the more how can it get to me? Okay, whatever it is, it'll come, and the name and form will come, and it will go like this. In our course here, they were sitting every day, a few hours, 3 hours a day with Swami Tathirananji. He gave one clue, which was very, very, very useful, I found. Very, very helpful at this. He pointed out like this, that, as long as I take myself to be somebody, that's my idea of myself, persona, then all the trouble is there. You take yourself as nobody. That's it. I'm nobody. Now, when you're interacting with something, somebody, you're nobody, meaning you do what's needed, and that's it. So when you're a somebody, there's an expectation the person will react like this, or things will work out like that. I will be able to do this. I won't have to do this other thing. All these things. So it gets so much more complicated. Small interaction, you just see somebody, you want to say hello, ask a few things, you become part of, you're not a nobody or somebody already. some expectation, something, or they're talking other things you don't want to discuss in that way. You're rushing to some, all this comes up. But when you're no body, then it's much simpler. It doesn't touch you. Because the somebody-ness is my idea. The nobody-ness, meaning I drop those ideas. So when you try to interact like this, it really helps. That's dropping the name form, my ideas of the things. So it really helps to smooth things out, push them aside. Really, really nice pointer he gave like this. For the few minutes we have left, let's just meditate on some of these points a little bit, okay? It can be very useful also. So you can sit yourself comfortably. You can sit straight and can close your eyes. You can take a few deep breaths. Let yourself relax. And I'm simply present now. All the past, but ideas in the mind. The future is just projection in the mind as well. I drop them, I'm present. When I'm present, simply I am. I'm Sat-Chit. I am and I know. I am and I'm aware. Whatever is perceived, I hear a sound. Yes, that is, the sound is. It is, it's part of my awareness, part of the awareness. There's no sound in me. There's just the presence, Sat and Chit. If I were to see something, also it is, it's present. I'm aware, I'm present. What I see is present. Isn't it but one presence? If I start thinking, yes, I'm here, that object is there, that wasn't there before, I don't like, whole world of name and forms comes into being. When just it is, I am. Where's the separation in existence? Where's the multiplicity? when I see that I start projecting these ideas on body objects when I'm sitting now, I can notice it. Then I see those are ideas. From direct unadulterated perception, just one existence, one presence. There isn't I and that. There's just one presence. And this can only be seen right here, right now in this moment. If I say I will look, I see it another time, that's future. It's right here and now, only here and now. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Thank you all very much for coming again today. We'll continue next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.